Open your Bibles to two openings. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. We'll be dealing with building an apostolic ministry of help team.
Yes, sir.
For each church that's represented, here at Word of Life, and then the churches that are represented, the ministry of help workers here, building an apostolic ministry of help team. It'll be different. It'll be like the book of Acts. Okay, things will start happening. These two verses, or two scripture openings, is very important here. Just find your seat when you get a chance. Find your seat. The usher try to help you. In the 28th verse of 1 Corinthians 12. 28th verse. And then Ephesians 4:11 we're going to deal with. Because one great word that has to be mingled with ministry of help, you listening?
Yes, sir.
Is maturity.
Yes, sir.
Maturity is one of the grandest words that can be mixed with you carrying out your ministry of help in the body of Christ. Maturity. I'm going to deal with maturity real strong today. And how should we mature? But then the 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God hath set some, hold up. We'll have some of this this morning. Here's the first thing I want to tell you about the ministry of help. Well, that's a word I can't pronounce. Desecrating? That a word? What do you mean? Disrespect? Make a mockery of? All right. Spell it the best way you would, but put that word on your paper. Because I'm about to tell you something. Stop disgracing God and disgracing yourself with your time schedule. Write that down. Stop disgracing God and disgracing yourself with your time schedule, walking up in meeting anytime you get ready.
Yes,
prayer meeting and all. It's a disgrace for you to lay down the last moment and run out and give God your leftover. Sunday morning service.
Yes, sir.
You ought to be in there. If you're in the ministry of help, you shouldn't miss a prayer meeting unless you got a prayer meeting, a Bible study, or Sunday morning worship. Or you don't deserve to be on the ministry of help.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If anybody going to be at church, you should be there.
Yes,
okay. So Word of Life, y'all hear that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because y'all coming off if you don't.
Yes, sir.
Got quiet, didn't it? So I said, every ministry of help worker must be committed to corporate prayer, Bible study, Sunday morning worship, and tithing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Committed 100% to the vision on the house.
Right. Yes, sir.
If you're going to be in the ministry of help.
Yes, sir.
Committed 100% to the vision on the house. Now, these are some things going to help you do that. First of all, you recognize that Jesus is master.
Right.
Honor him as the master, number one. Keep your mind straight, number two. Number three, keep your mouth straight. Number four, the mission. Number five, understand manifestation and miracles. They will happen if you keep the master in place, keep your mind straight, keep your mouth straight. And to keep the mission straight, you will have manifestation and miracles. The next thing I wrote down briefly, in ministry help, have to understand the assignment, come into alignment with the assignment, and then the ministry help should create an atmosphere, an anointing, and an authority to get the job done.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right? So atmosphere. Atmosphere has to do with what type of attitude you permit the Holy Spirit to give you.
Wow.
Okay. What type of attitude you permit the Holy Spirit to give you. And then with that in mind, there's an atmosphere every time we meet should be created by you.
Right.
And then within that atmosphere, there's an anointing that make things easy. Even to walk on Satan.
Right. Yes, sir.
Then your authority will wrap itself around the vision that if contrary spirits show up, the minister of help should have it wrapped so much, even from the parking, have it wrapped so much of a cross spirit come in a car and pass y'all, captain, pass y'all, y'all should be so anointed you wrap that spirit up before it get in here. It's a grave revelation about the Bible talks about as one man or being on one accord. You can't do that in the flesh. You can't do that in the mentality. You can't do that unless you're in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Now, there will be no fussing here, but I'm going to lay out a lot of stuff this morning that going to change your position about what part you should play or what part you're playing in your ministry. So let's read this verse. Now I'm going to read this verse in 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. You go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to say something to you about ministry of help you never heard in your life before. Because some of them I never heard them. But I'm going to show them to you today. Now, the bulk, well, we had to go back. Turn to Acts 1:8. And as I said to in corporate prayer this morning, we've been trying to use the power of the Holy Ghost for everything but the right thing. Acts 1:8 is the last recorded words of Jesus. It's the last instruction he left us. He said, but you should receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then he told you what the power was for. Then he tell you what it's for. Look at it. Look at Acts 1:8. See, some of y'all memorize and won't look at it, but you don't know what it means. See, if you use the power for its original purpose, it'll produce other things for you.
Right. Yes, sir.
Let me say that again.
Yes, sir.
If that power is ever used for its original purpose, it'll produce other things for you.
Yes, sir.
But what we have trying to do is get that power to produce other things,
yes, sir,
and have taken it from its original purpose.
Yes, sir.
He didn't say number one thing in that verse.
Yes, sir.
He said nothing else. If anybody got a revelation, he said something else. But you just receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judah and the uttermost part of the earth. That's all he said.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Now look at Acts 4:33.
Yes,
and I have six or seven places I would go there, but I'm not. But with great grace, with great power, gave the apostles witness. Now what we witness? What are we to witness? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and great grace was upon them all.
Yes, sir.
So we've been trying to use the power for everything.
Yes,
you got to use it once in the ministry of help. You got to use it for what God designed it for to be used for.
Yes, sir.
And I can give you a lot of other scripture there, but let's go to Ephesians 4:11 now. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some what, teachers, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers.
Yes,
all right, go to the next verse. Go with me now.
Yes, sir.
For the perfect three things.
Right. Yeah.
First thing. Mature.
Yes,
you cannot be in the ministry of help immature.
Right.
That's why we had to be selective who we ask.
Right.
Selective who we ask.
Right.
And then if you get on, we find out you're immature, you grumble about every little thing, you're not going to show up,
right,
and you're not going to pay up.
Right.
You're not going to do your part.
Right.
We have to ask you to sit down. Because you're contaminating the rest of the good folks. For the perfecting of the saint, maturing, for the work of the ministry. See, after we matured, what are we ready to do? Right. For the work of the ministry. And then the next thing is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Building one another up. Go to the next verse. Till we all come. Let's look at some things we need to come to. The unity of the faith. What that mean, unity? What unity mean? One. Unity of the faith. We believe in the same thing. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Another thing you should come to. Unto, there it is again. You see what it said? Until what? What that mean?
Mature.
Complete. Grown up. You see it? Then unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Man, it's just going on and on and on. Go to the next verse. You see, it's all talking about maturing. If Phil and Ron and Colin and my son there, the pastors in this church, in their churches, if they give it to you, you ought to grow up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And I believe they're giving it to you. Honorary. All right. That if henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doubt. They come up with new things every day. New ministry, new ideas, new strategy, humanistic, psychology, all kind of stuff. No, we got to stick with the message. The resurrection. Jesus died. He rose. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's coming again. All this new stuff drifting out. We got to cut it off. By the sleight of men and cunning crafty whereby they lie and wait to what?
Disease.
What? A ministry of wealth, a ministry of health, a ministry of wealth, a ministry of health, loosen up, a ministry of health, a ministry of help, person shouldn't be deceived.
Right.
They shouldn't have to question their leadership because somebody else says something. All right, go to the next verse. But speaking the truth in love. See how you speak the truth, huh?
In love.
May grow up into him. That grow up. See, that's what he said, grow up? That's another indication of maturity.
Yes, sir.
Ministry of help workers have to perfect, have to mature, have to grow up. They cannot be the squeaking on the wheel. They got to be rolling if we're going to do production as God wants us to do. Grow up in him in all things. At your house. With your family. How you raise your children. Some things you got to shut down in your house. We're not just going to have this. Call the police if you want. I don't care. Go get your own apartment. This is what's going to go on here. What's the head even cry? Go to the next verse. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making itself increase in the body, increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every joint supply. Now you're a joint. Yes. Ministry of help is a joint that must be supplied more than a church coming member.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now, we're going to divide uprightly what should make you more efficient as a minister of help worker. Not more, just more efficient to do the ministry of help, but make your life more efficiently.
Yes, sir.
You know, because I think what we're seeing now apostolically is that the church is only a nursing home. Just want to make sure everybody happy and comfortable. Make sure we have a mission to, you know, answer my need. Get me straight. Give me my money. Give me my house. Give me my stuff. And we got to get away from that.
Yes, sir.
And when we do get away from it, it'll come to us.
Yes, sir.
When we get away from that type of thinking, everything will come to it.
Yes, sir.
All the blessing I enjoy in my life now, I never asked for it.
Yes, sir.
It came to me.
Yes, sir.
Rolls Royces came to me.
Yes, sir.
I never asked for none. I ain't know what it was almost.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, if you're talking about material thing, stuff just come to you when you get lined up with God's plan.
Right. Yes, sir.
But that's the stuff we're confessing with and got our bowls with it on and all that stuff. And so we're not as adamant about the things of God as we think we are.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to try to saturate you.
Yes, sir. Right.
And soak you a little bit this morning. Be all right?
Yes, sir.
In a way that you almost can get out in 3 weeks.
Hallelujah.
You didn't hear me? Yeah, if you catch it, you didn't hear me, yeah. So you don't have to go to trail. You had to go to 30 years like I went. See, because you're connected. When you're connected to something, it just take you where it go. Amen? All right, so now, I'm going to read some points to you. We're going to first deal with the object of this lesson is to discover the use and qualification of apostolic team members and the corporate grace of apostolic ministry.
Yes, sir.
Corporate grace. Let me tell you one thing at a time. Apostolic believers have broken the bondage of a passive spirit. Write that down, a passive spirit. You know, just any, you know, past spirit, have the anointing to press through during time of intense spiritual battle. So, two things I wrote, passive spirit and oppressing spirit. Pressing. Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:14, what he said? I what?
I
press. To be a minister of help worker, you're going to have to press. You can't be passive. You can't be a passive spirit. Go along with every little thing that comes along. You know you have something, you have an assignment from the Lord.
Right, sir.
And his house first.
Right. Yes, sir.
So we're going to see. Now, when we say we press for the mark of the prize of the high calling, if you don't get that straight, it's just a stuff press.
Wow. Come on. Yes, sir.
That high calling is talking about walking in the revelation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to know him and the power of his resurrection. Okay? So now, I'm going to ask you, you looking? You listening? Never operate in a passive spirit. Always press in. Amen, you got it? What I say? What is a passive spirit? Who won't tell me what a passive spirit may look like? A passive spirit.
Do whatever they say.
Do
whatever they say.
A passive spirit, just do it. Just fall away, everybody.
Right.
You're always going to have grumblers in the church.
Right.
Don't you grumble with them.
Right.
Have you talked to pastor about that?
Right.
I shouldn't touch this if you haven't talked to pastor about it. Matter of fact, you better go to him because I'm going.
Right.
If you're going to work in the ministry of help, get ready to lose some flaky friends.
Right.
You got to be real. Be a tattletaler.
Right.
Tell on them.
Right.
They ask you something crazy. Say, oh, this is what you believe? Say, okay, you going to tell him? Because I'm going to tell him.
Right.
I got tattletalers in my church.
Yes,
I've been had tattletalers. Yeah. I know stuff people think I don't know. The Holy Ghost didn't tell me, my mama told me. All right, so get rid of that passive spirit. You want a pressing spirit to be a man. They have learned that opposition must first be fought in spirit realm before it is defeated in the natural realm.
Yes, sir.
See, now we can't be a good minister of help worker fighting in the natural. Okay? You know we're dealing with a spirit world, right?
Yes, sir.
And bad spirit get on good people.
Right.
So we got to know how to minister to them, all right?
Yes,
so remember, we have to handle it in the spirit realm, not the natural realm. All right?
Yes,
now, listen to me. I'm going to read something to you, but I want you to hear it. Secular Humanistic culture values individuals, a compliment, and promote individualism. See, now, we can't have that. Next thing I'm going to read. I'm going to read something about that. We compete against one another for advancement, for example, in job, sport, and all sort of other activity. Competing with one another is not allowed within the apostolic team because there's no platform for individual stardom. You understand that? Yeah, LTMA, as we got 87 churches, we permit no competition. We preach together, but we permit no competition. That competitive spirit, you know, we're a team. Say team.
Team.
We're a team. We're a team. Matter of fact, we're a dream team. Amen. Amen. So, competing with one another is not allowed within the apostolic team because there's no platform for individual stardom. Every team member, listen, has a specific gift, and when coupled with the team, become a joint that supplies.
That's right. Yes, sir.
The team has an assignment, and the team carry it out. Now, I'm going to do a little bragging about this ministry as headquarter ministry. I have my ushers, my praisers, my elders. I have a pretty good team here. The Word of God did it. I trust them. And a pretty strong team, many years of teaching, but a pretty strong team. Each team member plays a different role, but all focused on completing their assignment.
Right.
Now, I'm just giving you an introduction here because I got a lot of things. I got some specific characteristic that I want to share with you at this time, sharing time. All right. Apostolic people are masters at cooperation because they become one in purpose. Apostolic ministry of help workers are masters at cooperation because they become one in purpose. Where is that? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the work of the devil. That's 1 John 3:8. Put that in your note. Romans 8:28. Put that in your note. All things work together for good for them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Purpose. You got to know the purpose. Why God chose you. Why you on, they call it auxiliary. I don't know where they get this one. I already got it. I just call it auxiliary, you know. Paul described how he and his apostolic team entered the city of Thessalonica. There in 1 Thessalonians 1:1, put that in your notes, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians. That's a team, you see. Also put 1 Thessalonians 2:1-2. I'll read it to you. For yourself, brethren, know our interest unto you that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God with much contention. Look at the words, we. Mm-hmm. Apostolic team or apostolic minister of help challenges spiritual conflicts. They don't become a part of it. They challenge it. Paul and his team took the lead in attacking the spiritual climate of the territory. Say Baton Rouge. Say where Phil at, where Colin at. You all, we're going to set you all to attack the spiritual climate around you in the spirit first, not in the natural. They will not know what hit them because it never hit before. We go to church, get behind them walls. We got to build a church. We got to build a church with no wall. The spiritual atmosphere was filled with conflict, struggle, and strife. The spiritual battle, however, didn't stop the team. Apostolic ministry had the noteworthy trait of being able to press through during time of intense spiritual battle. Demonic activity in your territory will attack you. There's no neutral ground. All right? Apostolic people have learned that the battle are fought first in the spirit realm before they are won in the natural realm. I told you that. Apostolic team don't wait for the battle to come. They take the battle to the enemy. All right? I'm trying to get to these points. It's just so good. I'm almost there. When studying the characteristic of apostolic teams or apostolic help ministers, their character must be examined closely. We're going to examine your character this morning. Training, maturity, and experience are all important, but most importantly, is the foundation of a person, his or her character. Yes, so we're talking about training, we're talking about maturity, we're talking about experience, but the most important thing is, so you can train a person, but if that character is not right. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, I'm educating you. I'm not fussing at you. You understand? I'm not beating you across the head. I'm telling you what it's going to take for us to do this thing.
Yes.
You understand me?
Yes,
God's first choice for team members is character and second gifting.
Yes,
character come before your gift.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because you can have a gift and be a weight.
Yes, right.
Have no character. All right, you ready to take notes now? Our first scriptures, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. I'm about to give you a point that you have to have. That a makeup in the apostolic churches we are setting up in LTMA ministries. Here's one of the first qualifications that you're going to have. You got to be honest and transparent.
Come on, apostle.
And right under that, right, not of deceit. In 1 Thessalonians 2:3 says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in God. So the first requirement for apostolic ministry of help is honesty and transparency. To deceive means to seduce one in believing that something is true when it's not.
Yeah.
A deceitful person is a liar.
Right.
People who are lies cannot serve an apostolic team.
Right.
So quit your lying.
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Honest and transparent. The first real mark I want you to have. I speak it over you today with love. Now you're going to change everything in your life. We're not just talking about ministry of help this morning. We're talking about now need consciousness leaving you. And we're talking about things start following you. And all you got to do is turn around and pick it up. Never ask for it. It, he said in Deuteronomy 28, he said, what? It'll run you down. Bump into you. Blessing will start bumping into you. He said, oh, oop, that is. See, putting God first. Some of y'all think you got him first. When I get through with you today, you're going to get in the car and pray before you leave on the parking lot. In 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2, therefore, now these things I'm teaching you, I have them by grace. If you have any wonder why I'm so blessed, I'm sharing it with you right now. And you don't have to be me to have what I have. All right. Hear the scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:1-2. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man conscious in the sight of God. That's a powerful verse. I wish I had time to dig around that verse. That is so powerful, but that's what it's going to take. Read that back to me. Did y'all start out at the beginning of that verse? Huh? I say verse 4, 1, chapter 4, 1 and 2. Don't y'all cross me up. 1 and 2. 1 and 2. You got to get this first verse. Because you ain't going to be able to do this second verse. Come on. First verse. Ho! You know why we couldn't leave this verse out? To do this, you know what you need? Mercy. Everybody holler mercy.
Mercy.
Yes,
sir.
You need mercy to do this. You can't do this by might. I am a merciful ministry of help worker.
I am a merciful ministry of help worker.
I have the mercy of God on me. But see, because you can't do this, what I do, what they do, the pastor do, you can't do this by flesh. You can't do this without mercy and grace. You can't be a minister of help worker without going to Hebrews 4:16. Go to it. We'll come back and read the second verse after we get to it. We just go to it. Ask God this about the ministry of help. Yeah, give me mercy and give me grace. Because you're not going to be able to do it without it. Your flesh going to crawl. Do you know you have mercy and grace living on the inside of you? You really don't have to ask for it. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Because Jesus is in there, isn't he? Full of mercy. Full of grace.
Yes, sir.
But you have to acknowledge it. Now go back, let's read that second verse of the other text was in. Ready? You forgot where we were? 2 Corinthians 4:2. You can't be no minister helping you forget a scripture that fast. Come on. But have renounced. Oh, you got to do that, all right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, go to the next one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Help me, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Help us. Say, help us, Holy Ghost.
Help us, Holy Ghost.
You got to get these things out of your life. Get them out of your life. Next one.
Yeah.
Showing up when you get ready.
Yeah.
I see my members straggling prayer meeting a half an hour late and don't have no uniform on? Did they just come from work? Because I know sometimes the works and stuff, situations, you know. But just drag in God's house anytime you get ready. It don't sound like the ministry of help to me. That sounds like the ministry of hindrance. All right, but by manifesting, come on.
Wait, hold.
See, now you cannot do no commending until you have done the first part. See, if you're not in the realization of how to work the ministry of help or work in the ministry of help, you're putting something on their conscience. You can do anything you want here. I'm in the ministry of help. Hey, girl, you're half hour late. Y'all out in the parking lot talking. Come on, let's go in here. And so the followers, new member, got three new families just coming to church. So you don't put that on their conscience. They can handle it any kind of way. We're leaders.
Yes, sir.
Raise your hand up.
Yes, sir.
We're leaders.
Yes, sir.
Everybody don't have to be no preacher.
Right. Yes,
a lot of ministry of help people have started ministries that doing nothing because that's what they were,
right.
Ministry of help workers. And they got stirred up with the pastor message and kept watching how the pastor getting blessed, and they had set their program. I'm going to get down further. That you don't supposed to be your ministry in another man's ministry.
That's right.
Come down on purpose. I'm going to tell you 2 or 3 years, and then I'm going to go start mine. I see it happen all the time, man. Not only here, but I see it happen all over the world. Y'all cold, don't you? I see some of y'all shivering. Get your sweater or something. Really thought I was going to do something. False apostles and prophet minister out of deceptive heart. You can say the same thing for ministry help worker. You know, that's false ministry of help workers, too. But God apostolic team members serve others from honest heart. Now, boys, y'all might do a little something for them. I don't know what y'all got it on, but I don't want to get hot. What y'all got it on? Because I see some of these women just jumping one side to another. They just, Lord have mercy, it's cold up here. My son, my oldest son, I was preaching Sunday. He said, man, daddy, it was cold. That thing was blowing. Because one time it got hot up in here. I told them, you'll never be hot again. They've been cold ever since. The second one now, the first one is honest and transparent, right? All the points I talked about was under that. The second thing is pure motive. What'd I say?
Pure motive.
All right. And then write a note, nor of uncleanness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Thessalonians, oh, that thing went all boy. Somebody, what'd you say, amen? Huh? First, you think that thing blowing up down there. That thing blow you, it'll blow you the kingdom come right from up here, boy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Holiness is not a bad word. Say holiness.
Holiness.
Once you get in, you'll love it.
Yes,
Yeah. Team members, a ministry of help workers, should have pure motives to help and not help themselves. So this scripture infers that some have impure interests. The members should never use the apostolic team as a mean to promote their own ministry. This is unacceptable and a violation of a team spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's why you got so many little churches on the corner ain't doing nothing. 12, 13, 14 members, all them broke. They left a good church, left a probably a good covering. They won't start their own ministry. Oh, I know God, there's some people we need to send out, but after fasting and praying, I tried to send three boys out there. They said, no, we ain't going nowhere. They did the right thing. You ain't got nothing, don't go nowhere. See? Nobody trying to hold nobody back. You know, what did the Psalm say about promotion? Look, if the Lord will promote you, no bishop, no priest, no apostle, nobody can hold you back. When the Lord got ready to promote me, my pastor and 95,000 other pastors couldn't stop me. He just opened the door for me. You know, but tearing these doors down and saying, thus said the Lord, don't work. Because the Lord said, I ain't saying nothing. I didn't send you. I'm not going to back you up. Go get you a job. What's number two is? Pure motive. How many do you, how many of y'all do, don't raise your hand. How many of y'all have a pure motive? How many of y'all in your ministry waiting for your ministry? How many of y'all got some stuff wrote up already? But see, when this thing is done right, not done in an old traditional way, people say, they're trying to hold me back. I got an anointing, man. So what? Everybody anointed in the house of God, but you got to be sure about this. I don't want you going out struggling. See, I'm your friend. I ain't trying to hold you because I don't need you. See, God is always going to send somebody. Everybody left me, God give me somebody better. Every time. When you leave me or leave my ministry, you're promoting it. I'm serious. You know why? Because I have a pure motive. You think I'm going to hold you back and God told me to send you somewhere? You must be out your mind. I'm messing myself up. Let me get away from that. Number three, upright, ethical, and trustworthy. The word ethical means moral principle. Upright, ethical, and trustworthy. No in God. Team members are ethical. They're moral. To minister in God means to be crafty, slick, cunning, and tricky. I don't need that. No, the church don't need that. No, let me get it to you again. Crafty, slick, cunning, and tricky. Now let's talk about an apostolic ministry of help team. See, religion can't teach you this. They have character, honesty, and trust. And notice this, it said. Notice all of these traits deal with a team member character rather than religious education or spiritual gifting. Religious education or spiritual gifting. That's number three. Number four, pleasing God.
Yes, sir.
And put a footnote on that, not as pleasing men.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do it to the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
You're not serving Philip,
yes, sir,
per se.
Right, sir.
If you're the team and on his team, you're serving the Lord. Because
right,
Philip is the Lord's servant.
Right.
Don't miss your blessing. 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. Look at me. Do it with enjoyment. Do it right. I mean, you're going to have some attacks, but don't worry about that. You're going to walk right on through that. But do it with enjoyment. Do it the right way. I haven't been late for service in 43 years. It seems like I want to be here, right? No, I haven't been late. 43 years. Now, just because you don't see me walk out here when they start singing don't mean I'm not here. Sometimes I've been here a half hour, hour before. I just started backing off a little bit coming so early because there's another area of God working in my anointing. And but, man, I'd be on time. Man. How much you pay for that ticket? That ticket cost you $76. What time you got there? Team members are pleasing to God, number one. Many people fall into trap of trying to please men. Don't do that. This is an indication that they're not free from the snares of pride. You're going to have to cut somebody. I didn't say cuss. I said you're going to have to cut somebody. If you're going to work in the ministry of help, somebody going to cross your line and going to say something that they shouldn't say, and you're going to have to cut them. And you got to cut them loose. When somebody leaves the ministry, you shouldn't hang with them. Because they're going to say something. Because they're discontented. They're going to say something that you're going to have to deal with. Wow. Watch this now. I'm going to read this back to you, and I'm going to read the whole thing to you, because you've got to catch another line coming here. Team members are pleasing to God. Many people fall into the trap of trying to please men. This is an indication that they are not free from the snare of pride. People like this never say anything demanding or controversial because they fear how men would view them. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, by the grace of God, to be in the ministry of hell, you're going to have to be controversial. In order to stay in your position, there are times people are going to try you. New people are going to come in and old buzzards who've been there. You got to deal with them buzzards. You know, ministry help team, you know, a little pep rally. We're jumping around, laughter. No, today, I want you to see where you are. Because there's a hidden blessing that I'm trying to get to you. There's a hidden flow. I want you to know how important it is what you do. You didn't hear me, did you? This is important because this is God's work. The fear of men disqualify one from working in the ministry of help. Just write the scripture down. I'm not going to read it. 1 Samuel 15, 24 through 28. No, I got to read it. 1 Samuel 15, verse 24 and 28. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day. and has given it to a neighbor of that is better than you. The fear of man caused you to compromise your faith to stay admired and popular. It can also create an intimidation that required your testimony. Now, Peter and the other apostles displayed the correct response when challenged by the fear of men. Look in Acts chapter 5, verse 27. Acts chapter 5. See, you're going to need all of this, I'm telling you now.
Yes,
in order to enjoy your benefit of being chosen by God,
yes,
to work in his ministry of help.
Yes, sir.
If you got a pastor scared of you, leave the church tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's supposed to tell you when you're wrong.
That's right.
Bring your tail here, let me talk to you. You're missing your, blessing. Messing around here. Don't you know what that point hanging around you for? They ain't nothing but a troublemaker. You should have noticed. You got any discernment at all? Don't go to lunch with them. They're feeding you two ways. I ran up on a member one time who was with a family who left here wrong. And soon as I walked in the building, my wife and I, she saw, she run to us and tried to explain why she was there.
Right, yeah.
I'm just here to hear the lady sing, all right? Peter and the other apostles, now you hear this, displayed the correct response when challenged by the fear of men. They say in Acts 5, 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man blood on us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. I'm going to check you right now. You don't sit here and question my teaching. Get your butt up and get on out of here. I'm trying to train you for to get blessed. God wants you blessed. Tell the person next to you, God wants you blessed. That's why he chose you to work in the ministry of health. Ministry of help have a connection with the vision that can't come no other way. All right, the next thing you got to be sincere, genuine, and unfeigned. 1 Thessalonians 2:5. I would say I'm almost through, but I'm not. 1 Thessalonians 2:5. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Flattering words that mask greed. Flattering words that mask greed. Team members are sincere and never use blandishing words that mask greed. This scripture does not teach you cannot give praise for a job well done. Everyone enjoy a compliment or some encouragement. I don't give many. I should give more, but I don't give many. I just say, But it does, however, address the use of flattering words to deceive, control, or manipulate. We should never use flattery as a mean to deceive. Manipulative flattery is an inappropriate and harmful. The word teaches, know we no man after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Turn to Psalm 12 quickly. I'm going to give you about four more points. Psalm 12. Been going almost an hour now. You got a hold of that dog, man? He going to be waiting on us if we can't get done. Oh, man. What are you talking about, the dog, man? I just talking to Philip. Psalm 12:2-3. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lip, and with a double heart do they speak. What? A double heart. I'd have heard of a double mind. A double heart do they speak. The Lord will cut off all flattering lips and a tongue that speaketh proud things. Look what Proverbs 29:5 says. A man that flatters his neighbor spread a net for his feet. Look at 2 Peter 2:18. 2 Peter 2:18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, and through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. All right, minister of help. Next one is, and I'll talk a little bit about it, free of greed. Free of greed. You must not have a cloak of covetousness. Team members are free. You know why you're going to be free from greed? You're going to have everything you need. Greed is the insatiable pursuit of wealth and riches. You was at Pastor Carlin Church last week, or whenever I was there. You'll know you don't have to have no greed. One that wears this cloak use flattering words for selfish gain. God does not want us to be avid for possessions. I read about that man in Mark chapter 10, that rich young ruler. Pretend he loved God so much. God said, no, I know you don't love me. Let me check you out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. You're in the ministry of help. Let me ask you something. It's a good time to ask this question. Are you a tither? Yes, all the time?
Yes, sir.
Every time?
Yes, sir.
If not, we're going to put you out. If I had to know, if I'd go look and see if you're tithing. But I don't ever look at that. I just, by the grace of God, I just take you for your word. Hope you ain't lying. No, I'm just telling the truth.
Yes, sir.
Because you can't really get in the flow if you're not.
Right.
Every time, you know, if I'm up here trying to teach people how to get financial freedom, and you there in the ministry of help, you the usher picking the money up. You might steal. Oh, I had one stole. Caught him, no. Oh, I'll catch you. May take me a while, but you will be caught. He kept giving me money. The God always would give me money. I ain't giving my own money. $1,000, $100, he gave 100. Give me 100, 200. And I thought about myself, how he freely give like that? How he, you know, because he's making this much. Had his hand in the cookie jar. That's all right, I caught him. All right, free of greed. Turn, look at Job 32:21. Team member, read this to you. Team members are free from greed. Greed is the insatiable pursuit of wealth and riches. One that wear this cloak, use flattering words for selfish gain. God does not want us to be advocate for possession. We must be willing to stand down greed and meet the needs of others. A greedy person takes all he can without thought or consideration of others. This scripture associates biased wording with someone who would use deceiving flattery for gaining money. The more you see how I can teach this? I'm the advocate of money more than any pulpit I know. But I'm not no greed, and I'll be going after no money. Never did. The motive of the apostolic team is never financial gain. Let me not give flattering talents to man, for I know not to give flattering talents. In so doing, my maker will soon take me away. Ooh. You see that voice? What a dangerous voice there, boy. All right. Let's deal with free of stardom. You know what stardom means, right? Fame and celebrity. In the ministry, you got to be free from that. You know, don't walk to be seen. Nor, write this down, nor of men sought we glory. 1 Thessalonians 2:6. Wonderful voice. 1 Thessalonians 2:6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostle of Christ. Never sought the glory of men. You can't do that. Free of stardom, fame, and celebrity. I've had them. I had them, they thought they was all that. I let them run for months. Some of them went years. But they told on themselves. Ain't nobody come here to see the show. Got to be in the spirit, man. Come on. The scripture is clear in 1 Peter 5:3. We should never think so highly of ourselves. Jesus said, I receive not honor from men. Write this down. John 5:41. Now, minister of help, I want to give you this. Apostolic team member don't work for merit badges, awards, plaques, or praise from men. They follow the Holy Spirit. I know what that means. You know, you go to preach and travel, you know, spend about $18,000 on the fly over there, and they give you a plaque. I was preaching for a man one time. His father had been in the ministry over 50 years. All his son was there. And I was the speaker, and the son was there, the son. The son was spiritual son, but the blood son was sitting on the front. And they got to talking, and they give his father a tree to plant. So that boy got up, the son. I knew he was, Mark Hankin. He got up, my daddy don't want no tree. You know, served y'all all these years, y'all done used my daddy's life up, and used my daddy up. Y'all gonna give him a tree? My daddy don't want no tree, he don't want no plaque. So he said, I'm gonna start, I'm gonna give 10,000. So I said, you had a second 10,000. I'm going to give him 10,000 too, because I just hate that kind of action. And I think we give him $107,000 to go get him a car. Nobody want no tree or want a car. You can't drive no tree. Y'all can't disappreciate people like that. Write down John 12 in 42 and 43, because you're going to need this in the ministry of help. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest he should be put out of the synagogue. You got to be put out. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Put me out. Galatians 1:10. Other scriptures warn us of than you're trying to please men. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You see that?
Yes.
Proverbs 25. Come on, just a few minutes. Proverbs 25, verse 6, 7. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said to thee, come up here, than that should be put lower in the presence of prince whom thine eyes have seen. Now here's another characteristic you got to have. You got to be gentle to be a minister of help, compassionate and agreeable. Now that's got to be explained. We are gentle. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. I got about three scriptures I'm going to read. Then Montreal, y'all can get ready to take over. I'm just going to give them these basic things for to help their lives. I really want to help the minister of help because we do appreciate you. I look at you, didn't even take that.
Yes,
you think I'm trying to put up flattering wood? You might not never hear me say that again then, because I'm just trying to take it. I'm just trying to be a little nice today, you know? I'm going to tell you, I don't say nothing about me saying all that stuff. You tell them, I don't say all that. I ain't got no flattering wood. But we do know you got a part to play. No man or woman in ministry by themselves. God always set a team up. So your lack of importance must leave you today. You're spoke in the wheel. Do your part to roll with it. In 1 Thessalonians, talking about being gentle, compassionate, and agreeable. Now, my son tell me, they'll tell me, my son's all over the world. Now, I can't say what you said.
Now,
tell him something, don't say this. Them pews will be empty, you'll be talking about, what happened? You went and said exactly what I said. You can't say everything I say, you know, just identical, unless you're up there. See, I got members you can't run off.
Yeah.
I tried, they wouldn't go. I got members ain't gonna leave here. Can I be frank with you? They got something left, I'm glad. Because I know something about necessary in it. If you're not gonna flow with the people I got here, I don't want you blocking them. You sitting on a road with your contrary self and saying hallelujah or nothing, just sitting there and biting your lip as if you're going to do me something. That ain't going to happen up in here. You just get it straight. Then they got loving members, tender, kind, want the best. You got all kind of members. Got people join the church. You know, in the 8th chapter of Acts, you know what that man did? He joined church. His heart wasn't right. But Philip didn't have enough discernment. But when Peter and John got there, he said, your heart not right in the sight of God. He said, can I buy that? Sometimes people think they can buy you. I check every seed come in my hand. Some I've turned down. Some people can't sow in me. I won't accept it. If you're sowing in me, you better be glad. Because I don't accept everybody's seed. I don't accept it. Some people they're trying to buy you. They're trying to get in on you. I don't need that. I'm trying to be a blessing. I ain't trying to be a curse. If you try to get on me, you're going to get cursed. What he told Abraham? The same go for you. People trying to misuse you, they're going to get cursed. You didn't know that? When we're hunting rabbits, I didn't hunt too much this year, you know. The dog is running. dog going that away. And my brother was trying to school me. And a rabbit came out over there. Dog, that's barking. He right on that rabbit there. But then a rabbit come out over there. I said, what happened here? He said, that's a sneaker. Sometime in the ministry help you get sneakers. But you shoot them too. Oh my, I better quit. I better quit. So, yeah, you shoot the sneakers too. Another scripture you can read is 1 Peter 5:3, Matthew 11:29-30, 2 Timothy 2:24-25, Isaiah 40:11. Write down hard workers, then write down blameless, faultless, and innocent. That's the first one I'm going to go. Hard workers, holy and just, blameless, faultless, and innocent. Let me say a few things about that. I'm going to close. Hard workers mean labor night and days. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. For you, members, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God, night and day. 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardness as a good soldier. Sometimes you're going to be called on to do extra. Holy and just. 1 Thessalonians 2:10, you are witnesses, and God also. All right, Montreal, how holy and just and blameless we behave ourselves among you that believe. So you got to be holy and just. And 1 Corinthians 9:27 is a powerful scripture. Keep your body under. You can't be a whore. Can't be a bastard. You can't be running around with women and men in the church. You got to be clean and holy. Okay. I don't expect no more out of you than I expect out of myself. The reason some pastors don't teach this is because they ain't to it. Thank God if you got a clean pastor. Thank God. Thank God. And then Romans 12:1-2, you can't get around that. If you're going to live a holy life, you got to present that body and that mind to the Lord. You ready, son? All right, blameless, faultless, and innocent. I try to give you a little jump up or something like that, you know, but I ain't getting you nothing. In Luke 1:6, I love this. This is wonderful. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That's powerful. Also write down 2 Thessalonians 3:7-9. And the reason I'm here, I want to train people to do these ministry of help, but we're in a new stage here, apostolic. We're in a new area here. Apostolic, and so the apostolic age I'm trying to put on my sons, as well as my congregation, their congregation. That's why I'm here. Otherwise, I would let somebody else do it. There's some other earmarks that later on in another section I will give to you. Just be prayerful about some of the things I say to you. And those of you who are tardy, minister of help need to report early. Even if the pastor not there, they need to be getting ready for the pastor. Amen? Yeah, y'all need to be on time, be on your duty now. I got some, but not all. Prayer for the today. You know, I wish you'd take heed. Now, if it's some kind of way, because you're human, don't let the enemy keep you home if you run short. If you overslept or something like that, come anyway. I'm not there just at the door watching. Where are you coming from? You know, you're a human being. Sometimes things happen, you know. Sometimes the clock don't go off or something like that. I don't really need no clock me. I discovered that many years ago. If I set myself, I can get up anytime I want. I can get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I just said I'm get up at 2. But, and then if you have to leave early sometime, we know there's children in different activities. Sometime, overtime, sometimes when things come up, you might have to go to your house, somebody call, do something. All of those type of things, the Holy Spirit knows.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? But regular messing up, everybody knows. You know, I know, the Holy Ghost know, your neighbor know, all the members know. So let's tighten up. Y'all make some commitment today?
Yes, sir.
And I bless you. The thing that I've said to you, I bless you that every need will leave you instantly. And things you've been praying for years will block you off. They'll be there. Because this is the way I did it. This is the way I'm doing it. That's a ceiling I put in my house, built an outdoor kitchen. The ceiling is $10,000. Just the ceiling. My comment said, "You gonna put that up there?" I said, "Absolutely." When I look up, I won't see Jesus. So he said to me this, they're putting it up. He said, "Man, I'm going to save the sawdust for this stuff here." He said, "People, you'd have put this in the corner." Where Roy at? "You'd have put it in the corner in a cabinet, just in the corner. You're going to do the whole room?" I said, "Yes." Happy wife is a happy life. Don't forget that, white. And so there's something I want to say to you. Then the Lord revealed to me to tell him what happened.
Yes, sir.
I never prayed for none of this.
Right.
It just came to me.
Yes.
It just keep on coming.
Because
my mind ain't not on it.
Yes.
My mind on him.
Yes, sir.
All the time.
Yes.
It just keep coming.
Yes, sir.
You have a scripture for that.
Yes.
When the Lord asked Solomon what he wanted, he didn't ask for no gold, no house, no silver. Solomon had the baddest house that ever gonna be seen, buddy. He asked God, "Give me an understanding to go in, and then, huh?"
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir.
He's the richest man in the world. Never asked for nothing. We didn't pray for more cars and houses and shoes and dresses and suits, enough to build 55 companies. I'm telling you a secret.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Delight yourself in the Lord.
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yes.
Why you don't have the desire of your heart?
Right.
Why you don't have it? I got the desire of my heart. Why you don't have yours? Why you got to be waiting 15 or 20 years to get the desire of your heart? Because you're on the wrong end.
Yes.
You're on the desire end.
Yes.
Get back on it. Come on, you in a position to be blessed more than a person just come to church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Glory to God.
You don't have to be a flunky.
Right. That's right.
Come on.
But a leader know when he can depend on you.
Right.
I call one of these boys any time of night.
Yes, sir.
So get out of bed. We got something to do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For me personally. No, we're not talking about the Lord's mission.
Right.
No, I need your help for me personally.
Yes, sir.
I need you to drive me to Texas.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir.
That's why I don't like no right-hand men with no crazy wives.
Yeah.
All them boys.
Yeah.
Call when I had Chick Lynn now. I just shout, check him out.
Yes, sir.
Check him out.
Yeah,
because you got a crazy wife, you can't be called on.
Yes, sir.
You got to deal with her.
Yeah.
I would come if my wife need to go, boy, I ask you nothing about your wife. You got it, brother.